now on The Weekend Wake-Up. It's time for a taste of the West.
It's 7:21 and time for us to talk spuds, Sue.
Oh, I love potatoes. I think they're a staple of most meals, aren't
yeah,
they?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, most meals. I mean, particularly when I was growing up. Nowadays, a bit different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, which is actually interesting to find out what's happening in the spud world. I was going to say potato world, but that was a cross. Spud potato. Didn't quite work. Anyway, someone who is in just a beautiful part of the world, down south where it's just gorgeous. I'm sure raining everywhere. Gary Bendotti, good morning.
Good morning, Sue. Good morning, Darren.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you. Now, how long have you been growing potatoes for?
The family's been growing potatoes down in Pemberton for 84 years.
Wow. So really? You know a thing. How many different types of spuds do you farm?
We're growing currently about 12 different varieties, but I was down in Albany at a seed-growing farm during the week, and he's got 45 varieties ready to go this coming season.
That's pretty amazing because it's come. I mean, it didn't used to be like that when it came back. I remember when I was growing up, a spud was a spud, and there was one type.
Delaware, and that was it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's right. There was a point in time where it was just a Delaware. It was because it was a good potato for nearly everything, and didn't give too many agronomic issues when it was growing. But then the market changed.
Gary,
so we started to introduce new varieties.
Yeah, some of these new varieties. Now, am I on my own when I say I think some of the new varieties are too sweet? They are. They taste sweet, which actually I think I must be the only one in WA who hates them. Or
there are some. But, I mean, that's part of developing a variety. I mean, there's a whole lot of varieties on the market for different characteristics. It would be pretty much pointless if they all still tasted like
need to. That's exactly it, because the texture's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, some of that can be from, look, depending on how they've been looked after.
Ah, okay.
If they've been in a fridge, so they've been taken down to, chilled for a period of time, that can change the starches into sugars.
Ah.
But some potatoes are and do have different flavours.
Where's the market going, Gary? Is it heading towards sweet potato for fresh, or is it all about varieties that are processed to ready-to-use products?
A bit of both.
Okay.
There'll be a bit of both. Now, obviously, the West Australian market's undergone some fairly major changes in the last 12 months. In the processing side of the market, which we've been in majority of our lives, is with Smith's leaving and I mean, they'll still supply the product, but out of factories in the East Coast.
Yes.
And then you've got deregulation of the market. Where the market goes is going to be, like this guy's got 45 varieties. How many of those actually get to commercial level and hit the marketplace? A lot of that's dominated by the buyers. And when I say the buyers, more the retail rather than the consumer. The consumer will have some influence.
Yeah.
But it comes down to when you walk into the shop, there's only so much shelf space.
Exactly right.
There'll be a white, a red, a blue, a purple, a yellow fleshed.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to come down to that. And there's to be fair, there are some really good performing potatoes at the chef level.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've got a real agronomic issue in growing, and I mean, we've got to get a certain volume out of the ground. If the price point that we're selling at is dictated by a whole lot of other factors, so if the market's not paying a lot of money, you need a high yielding variety to at least cover your costs. So it's going to be an interesting next 3 or 4 years to see where it goes.
So talking about market, is it going to mean that growers like you going to have to change, whereas you're mainly supplying and the market was regulated, now change and push the varieties and we'll start to see a lot more information about different varieties, a lot more market point of difference?
Well, look, I think it'll go the other way.
Okay.
Unfortunately, having been in the industry and listening to the media, the way the industry was portrayed over the past few years...
Yeah.
if knowing the facts and knowing how much rubbish was put out there by the media, not necessarily their fault, it was just the way it was presented.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of... Well, I think we've gone from a really good system to a system that'll be dictated more by the majors.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to have a better industry because we've deregulated. The regulation of potato growing in Western Australia did not restrict the growth of the industry, despite what people may think.
Right.
We actually don't grow... We never grew any DME potatoes for the past 10 years, and our family as a group, because there's a number of Bendotti families together... We would probably, well, we do. The volume we grow is about 20% of the state's production.
Yeah.
Okay? But with no regulated potatoes being grown, and we operated within the rules that were there. So
yeah,
it was an interesting way it was sold, that it restricted things, and it didn't. But it's gone now. We can't change that. Brave new frontier we're about to encounter.
Yeah, so now you produce 10... Well, it is, isn't it? Because it's such a make or break.
Because it is a big change.
Yeah, certainly is. The processing, you talk earlier about Smith's leaving WA. You supplied... Can you take up that part of the market somewhere and supply the local brands? And should we support the local brands? dumb question, I know.
If you had the money to build some of the factories you need to process potatoes, I would suggest that you do your numbers really good and maybe put your money somewhere else, like
right, like okay. In the bank at the moment, because you get 1% interest.
Yeah. But look, we had our family undertook the purchase of what was the old Edgell Bird's Eye site down here in Manjimup back in 2002. So we actually have a French fry factory.
Okay.
Tell us about that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we've branched out a little bit and looked at doing a bit of off-farm value-adding to our product.
Yeah.
Certainly plenty of days we scratch our heads and wonder if that was a good idea. It makes farming look a lot easier if you've got something that hard to deal with.
I can relate to that, definitely, yeah.
But so fortunately, the volume that I've lost in the Smiths area,
yeah,
I can put a reasonable amount of that back into through the factory. We've got some expansion opportunities within the structure. So placing 1,000 ton or a couple of 1,000 ton is not going to be too difficult. I certainly would like to have been able to take up the entire volume that Smith's were taking.
Yes.
So, volume-wise, I think Smith's were taking in about 12,000 tonnes.
Yeah.
We've probably been able to place about 35-40% of that. And a percentage of that volume was growing north of Perth, like winter growing.
Yeah.
And I think those guys have got some other options. But look, it has had a big impact.
Sounds like pretty tough times. I mean, to be honest with you, it sounds like it's some pretty hard head scratching going on to try and work out what's going on. I mean, and I look at ideas like cooked, chilled, pasteurised potatoes. You know, that seems like making something that's sort of more ready for the more ready for the table.
Heat them up and they're ready to go rather than waiting for them to cook. And
we do that. We bought a machine in the machinery in about 10 years ago. And we've been trying to, we've been developing the product. We supply one particular major client. There's a QSR, a quick service restaurant, that has a roast dinner.
Yeah.
So the potatoes in that meal are a pasteurized potato. But also the buyer then has to look at the purchase price against just getting a raw product. And doing the same thing. So it's not like we're losing the volume out to some frozen product from an imported country. It's not too big an issue, but the volume that we've got available in sales because of our population and our remoteness restricts a lot of what we can develop.
Yeah.
We just can't get the volume through to make the numbers work.
And they take up a lot of space, don't they? So the freight's not cheap, and so there's
storage
lots of lots of issues as well.
That's right. It's a big state. I mean, we've got to put our product on the road for 3.5-4 hours just to get to the population, as opposed to someone that's in the middle of England that can load his truck up, travel an hour one way and back the other way, and he's unloaded.
And he's only gone 10 miles.
Yeah, that's right.
Gary, thank you very much. Under what brand can we find your Bendotti potatoes coming through, or Bendotti French fries,
well,
I would say?
The bulk of our French fries are done through distributors and just go into commercial life.
Okay,
But we have got, there's a small amount of it being going through Woolworths stores at the moment.
Yep.
And hopefully we can expand that into the independents as well.
And that's a Woolworths brand?
And, no, it's under WA Chip, Bendotti Chips, WA Chip.
We've got to get WA. We're not going to get imported potatoes. I'm not going to let anyone buy imported potatoes, Gary.
It's not allowed.
If it's imported from the East Coast, we are looking after an Australian farmer. It's
exactly right. Yeah.
It's the ones that come in from Belgium and Europe and the Americas. That's what you've got to look out
and
for.
And that's another whole story. I can't believe the volume.
Ask when you buy the chips where they're coming from. And
if
they're not Australian,
don't buy them. Go down the road. Gary, thank you for your time today.
No worries.